Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you open our eyes today, that we might see your mercy, your grace, your wondrous love for us today.
Yes.
How grateful we are. How thankful we are to serve a God that loves us so much. Father, take the words that are used here today. May they bless you, praise you. Father, may it lift us up. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Have you ever seen the video of that little boy singing that song? He's a little boy that's blind and crippled. But has an amazing voice and message that he shares every chance he gets.
Amen.
We're going to be in John, the Gospel of John. We're going to be in the 5th chapter. I'm going to read to you beginning in verse 1. The scriptures say, and after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades, and it lay in a multitude and lay there is a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there which had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going another step down before me," Jesus said to him, "get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, The man said to me, "Take up your bed and walk." They asked him, "Who is this man who said this? Take up your bed and walk." Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus that healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Have you ever been in a situation where you tried to do something good for somebody? You're trying to do something nice, and you're working hard at trying to do this, but no matter what you do, always somebody who doesn't like it. Always somebody complaining about it. Always somebody griping about it. Listen, we're not alone with that. Jesus came across this same attitude while he was here. In the scripture verses that we just read, in the lesson that Jesus is showing us, Jesus comes on a man who has been invalid for 38 years. He had not been able to walk. 38 years, that's a long time. And so Jesus speaks to this man. Nobody else helped this man. Every time this man tried to get into the water, somebody else stepped in the water ahead of him. Only Jesus was there, and Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And he says, "I'd love to be healed, but I can't." Jesus says, "Rise up, be healed, walk, and carry your bed." This should be a day of rejoicing. Everybody should be so excited about what just happened.
Amen.
This should have been such a party. Mm-hmm. But as is always the case, there's always someone to criticize. Mm-hmm. The man was walking through the streets carrying his bed when one of the Orthodox religious leaders comes up to him and says, "What do you think you're doing here? You can't do this. This is the Sabbath. You can't be walking around carrying the bed around." And it just seemed that these religious leaders were determined to bring this man's spirit down. This must have been one of the best days of his life. Mm-hmm. For all these years, we don't know how old this man was, but here he is up and walking. Instead of saying, "Praise God that you're walking," they're saying, "You're breaking the rules." The man said, "But the man who healed me, he told me to rise up and walk and carry my bed." And they said, "Who is this man?" And when they find out it's Jesus, not only did Jesus tell this man to get up and walk and carry his bed, Jesus had the gall to heal this man on the Sabbath.
Amen.
The scripture verses doesn't say that these men were Pharisees, but we can well imagine that's who they were, because the Pharisees were the ones that had made them the moral judges of everybody else. They're the ones that followed the rules and made sure everybody followed the rules, regardless of the situation. Many times in the New Testament, the Sabbath is called the Lord's Day, and they celebrated the resurrection of Christ. That's what the Sabbath should be all about. That's what the Sabbath should be about. It's a shame that it's not a day of rejoicing for us, for the Sabbath, for them and for many of us, has just become a day of gloom and doom. A day we regret we look at it as the end of the week, when actually it's the beginning of the week, but mm-hmm. we know Monday's coming. And mm-hmm. So we've taken the joy out of the Sabbath. From the beginning, the Sabbath was related to the creation. When God, the scriptures say, when God created the world, He did that in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. It didn't say he quit being God, just said he rested. Can you imagine God sitting down on a tree stump, taking a handkerchief out of his pocket and wiping his brow and saying, "Well, I'm glad that's over." No, that's not the resting that they were talking about here. The commandment that was given to us was to rest on this day. But it wasn't just for the men to rest. It was for their families and their children and their relatives. Even the beasts in the field were supposed to rest on this day. This commandment, when it's in the scripture, doesn't say anything about it. It's not even a religion. It doesn't even mention religion in it. It doesn't talk about going to worship or religious service. It just says that the Sabbath is a holy day. Mm-hmm. And it's a day for rest. Mm-hmm. It's a day where we can lay aside our work that we do every single day. It's a day that we can set that aside, and it's a day that we can spend resting and preparing ourselves and being ministered to by God and to minister to God, to praise God. That's what the Sabbath was for. The Bible that I read says that God has a special concern for the poor, the downtrodden, the overworked, the oppressed. The Sabbath was created to give rest to these kind of people. It was a chance for us to thank God for this day of rest. If we could see that the fact that we can work during the week and rest on the Sabbath, that's a gift from God. The problem is we turned it into something else. The commandment was given to us so that there would be a day, a special day, that we could set aside and rest. And if we had just left that commandment alone, it would have been fine, but we didn't. The Pharisees took that commandment. They analyzed it and scrutinized it. And it says, well, you shouldn't work on the Sabbath. They even tried to determine what work was. And they started making a list. And they took a day that was supposed to be so special, so restful, so peaceful, and turned it into something that was full of rules and regulations, and instead of being a day designed to protect us, to protect our health and welfare, it turned into a day that was full of regulations and requirements and duties, and the list was endless. They were so interested in saying what we could do, what we couldn't do, they took the joy out of this. You know, Jesus has a word for this. Over in Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And he says to the Pharisees, "You're straining out a gnat while swallowing a camel." What Jesus meant by that was there's a picture of a person with a glass of wine in front of him, and he's about to drink it, and he notices a gnat floating on the top. So that person takes the wine and strains the wine to get rid of the gnat and drinks the wine, not even seeing the camel that he's drinking, humping on. What Jesus is saying is, you're majoring on the minor things in life. You're paying attention to the minor things in life, and the important things in life you don't even see. It's like you're blind to it. We pay so much attention to the rules and regulations, we forget about what's important. Jesus tells the Pharisees, that people are more important than rules. Even religious rules. People are more important than rules. Here's something that you should go by when you're trying to decide on what you should do. If you are doing something for somebody, if what you're doing hurts that person, that hurts God. If what you're doing helps that person, that pleases God. It's a simple rule that we need to live by. We need to put... The problem with most religions are that they put the rules ahead of people. And people's needs. And Jesus wouldn't have that. Jesus didn't care if it was the Sabbath. He saw a man hurting and needing to be healed, and he healed him because that was the right thing to do. Jesus didn't want any of their strict rules of the Pharisees. His defense to healing a man on the Sabbath was, "That's what God would have done. That's what I did." It's important that we understand it. When the scripture says God rested, it didn't say he stopped being God. He still was a God of love and mercy and forgiveness and good judgment. All these things that God is, he is always that. God never goes on vacation. And because he doesn't, you and I can. We can step back sometimes because we have the knowledge that God can run this world perfectly well without us for just a little while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He allows us to take a breather from our responsibilities sometimes. Mm-hmm. There are many people who have this absurd notion that if they don't do something, it won't get done. Those are the kind of people that need to resign as the chairman of the universe and understand God is in control.
Amen.
This is God's world.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand that He has things He wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when we need to be doing things, but there's also a need for us to have a time of rest from doing things.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I read a story about a woman that she called her pastor, and he wasn't there. And the next time she saw him, she said, "I called you yesterday. I needed your advice about something, but you weren't there." He said, "I'm sorry, that was my day off. I'm sorry, I missed you." She goes, "You know, the devil doesn't take a day off." The pastor smiled at her and said, "You're absolutely right, and if I didn't take a day off, I'd act just like you." We need some time to rest. That's important for us.
Mm-hmm.
We can know that God is in control, mm-hmm. that we're not, mm-hmm. that He is,
mm-hmm.
and that He has a plan for us, just like Priscilla talked about in Sunday school. He has a plan for us.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that plan is for us to have times of refreshing, rest. Listen, I'm not making a plea here for laziness. The problem in churches today is not that people need rest.
Mm-hmm.
The problem in churches is that people need to quit resting.
Amen.
And start doing things.
Amen.
Those are the things that make the church go on, but I'm talking to the loyal,
mm-hmm.
faithful folks who have been working hard day in and day out,
mm-hmm.
putting their faith into practice the best way they know how.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to step back and take rest because you just grow so weary. It happens to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for us to take vacations. It's okay for us to sometimes let other people do things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be everything to every person because,
mm-hmm.
like Jesus found out here, no matter how good you try to be,
mm-hmm.
some people are going to take an offense of what you do, no matter how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to feel guilty about resting sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But let me remind you of this. Even on vacation, even when you're resting, don't forget who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did that over this vacation. On the ship, they pull into a port, and 90% of the people get off the boat. So you have the boat almost to yourself. You know, mm-hmm. you can go wherever you want to go. You can go eat. And I mean, I'm thinking, why do I want to get off the ship? All this great food is here. Sit out here in the sun. I can go to an air-conditioned room and take a nap. Now, I'm going to get off the boat and walk. No. On this trip, I was on the boat when most everybody else was off. And so I was coming back from eating lunch, and I was going to go to my room to take that nap that I was so looking forward to. The elevator door opened, and there was a woman in the elevator just bawling her eyes out, just sobbing. With her were two members of the ship that were there trying to comfort her. Evidently, something had happened and they had to bring bad news to this woman while she was on the ship. The woman was crying and she said, "Every time I take a cruise, something bad happens. Last time I took a cruise, my niece had a horrible automobile accident, and now this." I'm standing in the elevator, and we're on the 12th floor, and my room is on the second floor. And so it was just us in the elevator, the four of us. And she was just so upset. I felt like I was just invading her privacy there by being there. And so when the door opened, I said, "I'm sorry," and just walked out. I went to my room and I took that nap that I was so looking forward to doing. And then at dinner time, I was telling my wife about what I had experienced that day. What do you think is the first question she asked me?
"What'd you do to that one?"
"Did you pray for that lady?" I forgot who I was. I forgot who I was. I just felt so embarrassed to be in this situation for this lady. I didn't pray for her. God had given me an opportunity to do something. And I didn't take it. When you're on vacation, when you're at rest, whatever it is you are, don't forget who you are. And it wasn't until Chris asked me that question that I realized how I had failed in that. And the first thing she says to me, "Kimmy would have prayed." And she would have. Remember who you are. Remember your responsibilities. Take time for rest. Take time for vacations. Work hard when you're working.
Yeah.
But in those times of rest and vacation, don't forget who you are. Because God's still giving you opportunities. He's still bringing blessings on you. He's still bringing challenges to you that you need to accept because of who you are. You are a child of the King. You have been bought with a price. Don't forget who you are, no matter what the situation. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we understand that we're not going to please all the people all the time. That we're going to make mistakes. And Father, you're always willing to forgive us our mistakes. But Father, may we realize our mistakes. May we understand who we are. Father, as we come to time of refreshing and rest and vacation, Father, may we look at those things as a gift from you, a gift from God. to be able to have this time of rest and relaxation and getting away from responsibilities every once in a while. But Father, may we never forget who we are, what we are supposed to be doing. Father, we thank you for the fact that people are more important than rules. And Father, that when we start putting restrictions and guidelines and rules on how people should behave, and stop loving people, we're in sin. We're making a mistake. And we're not pleasing you. Father, may we always remember, if we do something to help somebody, that pleases you. If we do something to hurt someone, that hurts you. May that be our guideline, our measuring stick. When we are trying to do anything, are we here to help or here to hurt? Father, I just thank you that you can change us from who we are, and you can forgive us from our mistakes.
Yes.
And understand that we're human, but that we have been bought with a price, and that we have responsibilities that we need to always remember who we are, even in times of refreshing. Father, bless these people here today. Father, I speak blessings on them. May this be the best Christmas season ever. May we always remember how the birth of Christ was the beginning. And that we should celebrate that and always be thankful for a Savior who would leave heaven to come down here to live on this earth so he could teach us the kind of lessons that we read here today. Father, thank you, and we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.